Our speaker this morning is Sivia Gover. She's an author and an educator who facilitates self-growth and awareness through her workshops and retreats on writing, dream work, and mindfulness. She holds an MFA in creative writing from Columbia University and is also a certified dream therapist, a certified proprioceptive writing instructor, and a Reiki master. She lives in Northampton, Massachusetts. So we are very delighted and look forward to you.
It is truly a pleasure to be here. You know, there's that expression, preaching to the choir. I feel that that's what I'll be doing today. I feel like the message that I've been going around the country delivering as part of the promotion for my book, Joy in Every Moment, is to wake up to the everyday moments of joy. And I see you folks are already there. But going around the country, talking to people about joy and happiness, that's my job these days. That's my job. And no one could be more surprised by this fact than I am. Because the truth of the matter is, I have not always been a happy person. So when I was invited here to talk about my journey, to talk about how I came to believe what I believe, how I came to be an author of self-help books and inspirational books about joy and happiness, I really had to stop and think, how did I get here? So I actually used one of the exercises in my book to help me scroll back and answer that question. So in the book, I recommend to people that you look to your scars and to your wounds and write about them to find out about who you are and where you are in the path to finding joy and meaning in your life. So I did that. I look back to the places where I feel the most wounded to see how I got here today, to somebody who goes around trying to inspire other people to truly feel the joy in their lives. When I went back in my mind, three different times of my life came to mind. The first one, when I was 10 years old and I was away at summer camp. But what I thought about and what I remembered when I thought about that little 10-year-old girl wasn't the hours I spent in the arts and crafts shed at camp or the times in the social hall when we were putting on plays or swimming in the lake. What I remembered was that I cried every single day. And that wasn't unusual for me back then. I was the youngest of three kids. I was picked on a lot. And I had a dad who had an explosive temper. And it was really scary to grow up in that house. So that summer, what was unusual, not necessarily that I cried every day, but that I decided, this little 10-year-old girl, that I was going to make it my goal to get through a whole day without crying. And I couldn't do it. That is how bad I felt. And then it even got a little bit worse because a couple of years later, my parents sat us down and told us they were getting a divorce. And back in the 1970s, I didn't know any other kids from a divorced family. And now suddenly, I was considered that girl from a broken home. And that's how I felt. I felt broken. So if that young girl, smart, scared, bold, and broken, had been told that one day she was going to be going around the country and writing books about joy and feeling truly joyful and happy in her life, she probably would have said, "Sounds good, but I don't think so." So let's skip ahead several more years. When I was a newly minted, radical, lesbian feminist, and I was pretty pissed off. I was angry about all the injustices I saw in the world. I was angry about sexism and homophobia and racial injustice and inequality. And I remember this moment of talking to a friend, and somehow we got on the topic of happiness, and I said, I don't want to be happy. And she said, why not? And I said, happy people have to be stupid. You would have to be stupid to be happy in a world with so much wrong. And if you told that first year college student, and you would not dare to have called her a freshman, if you knew what was good for you, that she was one day going to be an author promoting joy, she'd have told you you had drank some pretty messed up Kool-Aid. And then, when I was a young mother, a non-biological lesbian co-parent, as I was referred to back then, who started out as a pioneer in the lesbian baby boom back in the 80s, and who then lost custody of her daughter because I had no legal right to contest my ex-partner's decision to cut me out of our daughter's life. If you had told that Sivia that one day she would write about happiness, let alone experience it again, she would have hoped that you might be right and that maybe one day that would be possible, but she sure didn't feel that then. All this is to say that on the face of it, I am an extremely unlikely spokesperson for joy. On the other hand, if you look a little deeper into my story, you'll see that I'm extremely well qualified for this job. When I look back over all those phases in my life, including but not limited to those challenges that I just mentioned, I see that that 10-year-old girl crying every day at camp, she knew she wanted to feel better, and she sensed that it was in her power when she made that vow to herself to get through one day without crying. And when that little girl got home from camp, she would lie belly down on the carpet in the living room after school, and she'd open up the newspaper, and she would read her two favorite columns, Dear Ann Landers and The Horoscope. So even from back then, I was looking to the experts, and I was looking to the stars for ideas about how to make things better. And then when I learned my parents were divorcing, that was a blow, but I also received two very important gifts. My mother's best friend gave me a little diary covered in a plaid cover with a little gold lock and key, which launched me on my lifelong habit of journaling, of looking inward, of trying to figure things out, and seeing where I'd come and where I was going. And right around that same time, my grandpa Ben gave me a copy of Freud's Interpretation of Dreams. And I have been trying to read that book ever since. But he knew and he supported my interest in psychology and in dreams, which has been a lifelong passion, and my dreams have become such important guides, friends, and guru for me. So that was a time when transformation was in the air. It was the 1970s. My mom was remaking herself from a 50s housewife to a 70s feminist and activist, and I was remaking myself too. When I got a little older, that radical teenager who was so angry took up karate and found not only a healthy outlet for my anger, but also I got connected with Zen Buddhism and with the concept of being a spiritual warrior, a bodhisattva. And then there was that young mother who was so courageous to have a baby in a lesbian relationship, but who was now defeated and dispirited after losing her daughter. And I finally got up one day and decided that no matter how tragically unfair my situation was, that like my 10-year-old former self, I was going once again to try to stop crying and pull myself back up little by little into the sunlight. And it was that journey that led me to be the person who I am today. I had to call on all the resources that I have mentioned so far. And in addition to that, I got another gift from my parents that I hadn't realized was such a gift at the time. Although they had such a bitter divorce, there was one thing they agreed on, and that was the importance of physical fitness. And they taught me that little decisions you make every day add up to a healthy lifestyle. And those were things like taking the stairs instead of the elevator, or starting slow and building slowly with a running routine or a biking routine or swimming. And I decided to apply those principles to making myself emotionally and spiritually fit again. So little by little, I would do exercises like the ones in my book. I made a lot of them up. I discovered some of them from spiritual teachers. And I did a little more every day. And slowly, I found my way to being happy. And nothing could have surprised me more. I found that, in fact, through meditation and through prayer, I discovered there was a flame at the center of my being. And it was a protected flame, and it never went out. And that was my joy. And I could find my way back to it again and again. And I also learned that while my resume lists my accomplishments as a journalist, as a teacher, as an author, really, the accomplishment I am most proud of is this journey that I'm talking about learning to forgive my father, and we're now best of friends. He's one of the people I respect most in the world for his courage in facing, as he would call it, the bully he had been and becoming the wonderful man he is today. And reconnecting with my daughter finally after 5 years and being able to be her mother again and being able to help her heal from what she went through during our separation and helping myself heal from mine. These are the accomplishments I am the most proud of. And now it's your turn, because guess what? I am a teacher after all, and I'm giving you homework. I'm going to invite you today, when you go home or sometime this week or this month or this year, if you choose to take it on, to look at your wounds. Look at your battle scars from life. And find out, when you look deeply into those places, what wisdom, what lessons, what strengths you really gained as a result of your healing path. So having just completed that assignment myself, I'm going to lead you on a short meditation to help you to find your answers, because I learned from doing this exercise that it ain't easy. It's a big job. Okay? I adapted a metta meditation, and that's a loving kindness meditation if you haven't heard that term before, simple loving kindness. But I've adapted it so that we can do it offering loving kindness to all the different parts of ourselves along our journeys. So if you'd play along with me, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and turn inward and breathe into your heart and find one thing you appreciate about yourself as you are today. Breathing into your heart, finding something you love or appreciate, something small or large, about yourself today. and offer yourself these wishes. May I know joy. May I know love. May I be at peace. Continuing to breathe into your heart, see yourself as a baby. Take a moment to really see that small being, those tiny hands, those sweet lips and eyes, that little nose. And silently direct these wishes from yourself today to that little being. May you know joy. May you know love. May you be at peace. And now see yourself as a child at any age that seems right to you right now. See that child in their environment, playing or drawing or napping. And silently offer these wishes from yourself today to that small child. May you know joy. May you know love. May you be at peace. May you know joy. May you know love. May you be at peace. And now see yourself as a teen or a young adult. See what you're wearing, where you are, how you're sitting or standing. See that teen or young adult in your mind's eye. Hold them in your heart and offer them these same wishes from yourself now. May you know joy. May you know love. May you know peace. And now, if you can, bring in all parts of yourself from all times in your life. You're going to breathe into your heart so it becomes spacious. Spacious as the blue Santa Fe sky. That's how big your heart is now, to hold all parts of yourself from all times. And offer these blessings. May I know joy. May I know love. May I be at peace. Another deep, beautiful breath to infuse those wishes for joy, love, and peace to all parts of yourself, including who you are right now, today. And now, as you're ready, gently open your eyes and know who you truly are. Know that you are all of these things, no matter what you've encountered on your path, the challenges, the wounds, the lessons, the beauty. Know that ultimately you are love and you are joy and you may be at peace. Thank you so much. You truly are a joy. This community is beautiful. Thank you for having me here.